This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Keith Churchwell. Dr. Churchwell is the COO and the Executive Vice President of the Yale New Haven Hospital. Obviously, Yale, one of the great systems in the country. Dr. Churchwell's been with Yale now for at least half a decade or more. Dr. Churchwell, we're going to talk to you today about leadership, about your journey leadership, about the top priorities you have now, advice for emerging leaders. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. So thanks for the opportunity. I have been at Yale New Haven now 5 years. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and came to New Haven 5 years ago. I am a cardiologist by training. I call myself now a lapsed cardiologist. It's been a while since I actually was actively practicing. I was actually in full-time practice, private practice at the beginning of my career back in 1994, and then had the opportunity with a great private practice group to go into a partnership with Vanderbilt University and Vanderbilt Medical School back in about 1998-99, to help in development of their clinical cardiovascular program with their section of cardiovascular medicine. So I was on the Vanderbilt campus full-time from that period of time, and then became full-time faculty there in 2006. And during that time, took on a journey of taking on leadership and roles and responsibilities in the development of the Vanderbilt Page Campbell Heart and Vascular Institute, which ultimately culminated in me being named the Executive Director and Chief Medical Officer for VHVI. And I had that role for about 6 years or so before being recruited to Yale New Haven Health System to help in establishing their service line development for heart and vascular services. In the last 5 years, I've taken on a number of responsibilities, including heart and vascular, and then culminated in the last February 1st being named the COO of Yale New Haven Hospital.
Well, congratulations, and what a remarkable journey. Now, I see that you have got both the great challenge of both Harvard, you went to Harvard as an undergraduate, and now you're at Yale. So the core question, I guess, Dr. Churchwell, is Harvard versus Yale, which is the better institution?
I have no comment on that in my particular role. I can only say that I cannot make myself wear a Yale cap. I think that would be inappropriate. So what happens in our household, my wife, who is actually a Yale faculty with their internal medicine associate, she'll wear the Yale regalia and I'll wear the Harvard regalia during the game.
Oh, fantastic. Well, either way, you're at a magnificent institution. And, you know, Yale New Haven is one of the great institutions in that it's both one of the best academic medical centers in the country, plus bridged out now a decade ago to also be a very, very engaged part of the community, operating several hospitals within the greater New Haven community and so forth. So a magnificent elite institution that also is heavily involved in real clinical work. So fantastic. Let me ask you this question, Dr. Churchwell. Your sort of priorities now, you run the flagship hospital, at least as chief operating officer. What do you view as your core priorities currently?
So as we look towards the continuing the development of a true academic health service and system across not only our institution, across the health system, I think the part of my work is the continuing development of our service line structure. Rick DeQuilla, who is our CEO, began that development well over a decade ago. And with the institution of the Smilo Cancer Hospital, which was the first part. We now have a number of service lines that actually are growing towards significant maturity, not only at Yale New Haven Hospital, but across our other five delivery networks, in helping to establish the opportunities around clinical program development, quality initiatives, and working with all of the CEOs and COOs and other medical leaders and clinical leaders at those institutions to develop and hopefully prosper our clinical programs so they have greater value for the patients that we serve. So a significant part of my role now over the past few months is actually continuing that work, developing and working on enhancing relationships with all of our service line leaders. and then working towards understanding what are their overall goals and what are the opportunities that we need to continue to develop and work towards along those particular lines as we look at ourselves as a true integrated health system that actually can support themselves effectively. You know, in the era of COVID, that has become even more of not only an opportunity, but actually an issue of great importance. As we worked incredibly effectively across the five hospitals to integrate services and integrate thought and processes so that we could actually maximize our ability to take care of a very sick and complicated population across our whole region of Connecticut.
Well, fantastic. And talk to us, Dr. Churchill, about this journey to leadership. You're running one of the great elite medical centers in the country. You also were a cardiologist by training and background. What was that transition like to get out of clinical practice and move towards leadership and administrative leadership? What was that transition like? Challenging? Did you enjoy it? Talk to us about that.
What an interesting question. You know, that happened actually over a very gradual and long time frame for me, I think. At the beginnings of it all, of course, the issue of leadership was not so much of thinking about what the end product or end result would be, but was an opportunity, especially in the setting of the new initiative that was brought to us by Harry Jacobson at the time, who became the Vice Chancellor of Health Affairs at Vanderbilt, of how to make that particular initiative successful. And in that, thinking that when opportunities arose or we had the need for leadership around new initiatives or new projects, I just thought it best that in many of those cases to raise my hand and to say that I would help or help lead those initiatives, because I thought, number one, that investment was important to me, important to my patients. So that really led to the beginnings of and the maturation of the overall journey. I was probably at the beginning of closely 100% clinical, but over time, that gradually began to be chipped away as my responsibilities continued to grow from an administrative standpoint. I used to tell my wife that we were striving for somewhere when I was at Vanderbilt, 80% administrative and 20% at the end, but it was more like 80-35 or 80-40. Because of the overall clinical needs for the patients that I had a great opportunity to serve. When I came to New Haven, because of the complexity of the work and the need for to really be focused on the service line development from an administrative standpoint, I at that point decided to hang up my stethoscope in terms of seeing patients. You know, it's funny, people ask me not a few times, what was that transition like and do I regret it? I don't regret it so much in the fact that I have oversight in some respects, but also responsibilities for not just the patient population that was on my clientele list, but also for actually a multiple numbers of patients now, thousands of patients in some respects. That because of the work that we do and the work that I do, you have responsibility for to ensure that we're actually trying to do the best job we can to optimize their overall care and that their experiences at our institution, as they remember them and as they experience them, are to the point that they understand that we are doing the best job we can and that the results that we are getting in terms of their care will be the best that we can actually deliver for them.
So you've done a remarkable job in your career. You've worked with some of the great names in healthcare leadership, Harry Jacobson at Vanderbilt, Marna Borgstrom at Yale New Haven. You yourself are a magnificent leader. I don't know if you remember the Dr. Paul Sternberg from Vanderbilt as well, but
very good friend.
A cadre of magnificent leaders, really great leaders, and yourself included in that. What advice do you have for emerging leaders? What would you tell emerging leaders? You ought to think about this and this as you develop a career.
So a couple of thoughts come to mind. Number one, be a good listener. You will have great ideas. Others will have actually excellent ideas also and should be able to and want to impart not only their wisdom, but their opportunity for them to also serve in a capacity that's going to enhance the overall capability of your institution. There is plenty of work and the desire to actually be a part of something greater, let those individuals be a part of that. I'm a big believer in actually having a large tent, and in that bringing as many opinions and diversity into our overall thought process, because I think that leads to not only enhancement of our capability, but also optimizes our overall outcomes. You know, and I've been, you mentioned something I think really important. I've been very lucky in the people who have actually, I've actually had interactions with and have been mentored by, and all those individuals that you just mentioned had the capacity to not only be comfortable in their own skin and be themselves, but also be more than willing to listen to other ideas and other opportunities, and to work towards a consensus that people could actually get behind and support to a great degree. And I think that's something that leaders need to do, that should actually be operationally what they should be thinking about on a daily basis. It's not just your opinion, although you need to have an opinion. My wife would say that many a times, sometimes I am sometimes wrong, but never in doubt in regards to how I can convey an opinion or an opportunity or a thought. But I think it's incredibly important that you need to continue in your role as a leader to think about the people in the room and how you mentor those in that particular space, so that some of them may have the opportunity to take on the role that you have, number one, but also have them maximize their overall opportunity within leadership, so that you're growing a stable of individuals who can support the institution to a spectacular degree.
What a pleasure. You know, often wrong and never in doubt. That's a phrase used often around, and I could say this because I spent time at Harvard too. That's a phrase often used by Harvard people.
Yep. So we have to understand that may be part of our personality, and we think of that not only as a strength but also as a bit of a defect, right? So it's always good to take that couple of heartbeats as you're going through decision making and trying to solve a knotty problem, to ensure that it's not only your voice being heard, but actually other voices that actually should be imparting wisdom of what you're trying to work towards.
Yes, no, there's a phrase that you can always tell a Harvard person, you just can't tell them much. And you've learned to overcome that and be willing to listen and hear lots of other views and do a big tent.
Oh, it's been a while before. It's been a long time since I've been on campus, so I can say that I've hopefully learned that that's not the appropriate way to approach things.
100%. Dr. Churchwell, it is a true pleasure to visit with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time out to visit with us. You run a magnificent institution, and I wish you continued good luck in your journey. Just magnificent. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you for the time. Appreciate it.